Welcome to this week's podcast. We've got a lot of experts here, and one of the things that was interesting that came up during Enterprise Connect was a lot of discussion about the consolidation that's going on in this industry, some of the fundamental changes that are happening that seem to be driving a lot of this. Of course, I think one of the real things, obviously, is just the fundamentally changing nature of how voice communications especially is really going through some remarkable transitions. Today on our podcast, we'd like to sort of address this issue, look at some of the things that are driving this kind of change, and then also perhaps talk about some specific companies or specific areas where we think some of this consolidation will occur. Let me start out by going to my partner, Marty Parker. Marty, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, hi, Don. Well, I've been watching M&A for many decades here across a number of industries, and broadly, you can say that there are two types. One is what I call the growth M&A, companies buying other companies because the other company gives them a new growth dimension into an adjacent market or a faster than their own growth vector in their own market, some way to expand revenue and share of wallet with their customers. And then the other category is the one I would call attrition. And these are the companies who are in such desperate straits with their business model or their ownership model that they have to basically sell at whatever price they can get. And sometimes it's not very pretty. I mean, the Nortel sale to Avaya would be in that category. Nobody at Nortel wanted to do that. And there were a lot of bright people. There were some great products. But the ownership model, as the carrier markets were collapsing in around Nortel from the top, the enterprise portion of Nortel couldn't survive in that business model, and they had to be sold. So they were sold at a pretty bargain price. So it's those two vectors. And so if we look ahead in this market for the next, say, 3 to 5 years, I see three descriptors of what could happen. There's the vertical stack companies, the companies that want to be vertical top to bottom. They use marketing slogans such as end to end, a favorite AT&T phrase that Avaya still uses. And those companies, as they try to do everything for their customer, will have to keep acquiring, especially if they can't afford the R&D to do it all themselves, or if they can't go fast enough to do it all themselves, they'll acquire. You know, Cisco acquires Tandberg, and Cisco, by the way, gets in this same vertical stack category. Avaya acquires RadVision. And you see those kinds of acquisitions. You see ShoreTel acquiring into a growth vector with hosting so that they can extend their stack into the hosted model in the mid-market, not just be on-premise. The second category, and I think we'll see some of that continue. However, I'm a big fan of Andy Grove when he analyzed the computer industry and pointed out that it became a horizontally layered industry and that the same thing was likely to happen in the communications industry. So then we can look at the horizontal layered companies and see how each company tries to stay best in class in their layer. So the Sonos acquisition of NET recently would be an example of that. Polycom has built their business over many years through that kind of acquisition. Pick a particular layer in the market and then persist and persist and persist to be the best in that. Logitech's acquisition of LifeSize might fit into that category. Trying to capture a specific layer in those cases like Polycom and Logitech, you know, acquiring the user experience layer of unified communications and trying to protect that layer. The third I'll call the innovation layer or the innovation vector, because there's always new ideas coming into the marketplace. WebRTC may be one of those. I think Blair will say more about that later. But innovation companies who see new opportunities, they're not opportunities that are good enough to get approved by a board of directors in a major corporation, but it is an idea that's enough to get a million or two or $5 million worth of angel capital, phase one, round one, venture capital, and get into a proven position where that company is suddenly growing at, you know, double-digit, triple-digit percentages per year, and everybody says, wow, and then people start jockeying to acquire them, which is exactly what the VCs bet on, you know, a positive exit strategy. And, you know, therefore, that new growth company gets grabbed up. And you see that WebEx being bought by Cisco. You see that with the Yammer being bought by Microsoft. Those kinds of plays. So I think we'll see these three different types of plays. Mostly, it will look like people are investing in the growth vector, but I think that, as I posted recently about the evolution of the PBX market has gone flat, and when you're in a flat market, you're also likely to get some companies that are for sale purely by attrition, and who knows if they'll be valuable enough to be bought because of their profit and their growth. They probably will end up being bought like the service companies bought the remnants of the computer industry when the big vertical stack computer companies, Unisys, Honeywell, people like that, couldn't afford to produce mainframe computers anymore. They sold off their maintenance base to maintenance companies. I think we'll see a little bit of that, maybe not next year, but in the next 5 years, I think we'll see some people exit the PBX industry by selling their maintenance business to someone and leaving the field. So I think it's a pattern that we can see from the past, and it'll be fun to watch the pattern going forward. Back to you, Don.
Thanks, Marty. Great overview, I think, of those three different kinds of approaches we're going to see. And I think as we go on with this podcast, we're going to dig more into some specifics and some specific examples of what we see coming in the future. John Arnold, thoughts that you've got, please.
Yeah, thanks, Don. And, yeah, Marty, you really covered the ground pretty well. We could probably end the call right there, but I'll just add a couple of pieces.
I thought I just mounted the canvas for you to paint on. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure.
Paint away.
I mean, we could go on this one for a long time. I'll just be short and say, for most of us coming out of the telecom space, I mean, you could be cynical and say this is the death of telecom in a way. I really look at the Oracle pickup of Acme as a real indication of, I think, what's coming down the pipe. And I think we're just seeing this transition of the value chain moving from, obviously, from hardware, and that's where the telecom guys had all the leverage, and it's now completely gone off to software, and now it's moving, you know, into the cloud. And the further it gets away from the traditional roots of the companies that have kind of built this industry, the less leverage they have, the more desperate they become, because it's really the game for them now is it's protecting what you have, not building and adding to what you've already got. And when you get into this defensive mode, it becomes very difficult to innovate, and the pressure to perform on pricing gets really, really strong, and margins go down, et cetera, et cetera. And it becomes this spiral for the bigger guys to really hang on, really makes it hard for the little guys. And I think with Oracle coming into this space, I think it signals another wave of, I don't want to use disruption as the word, but certainly this changing of the guard in terms of where the value drivers are. And it's obviously moved away from hardware systems, and it is very much about networks, and it's about software applications, and of course you're going to touch into big data, but the kind of things that are really driving everything that matter in the relationships. And when you look at what Oracle's base is in terms of penetration of carriers, penetration of enterprise networks, these are the kind of companies that already are serving everybody. And for them, adding on these pieces in a market that's losing value quickly is relatively easy to do. And, you know, you can go back to the earlier days of telecom when IP was starting to take over. If you remember the ridiculous amounts of money that were getting paid for companies that had very little revenue, very little of anything on the go. And it's incredible when you think about what companies, how little they have to offer today. And I think that's what's happening with these diminishing values. It's getting easier and easier for these companies from outside this industry who have tremendous clout financially and with their customers to make acquisitions for what are big companies in our space but small companies in their space. And I really see this us and them thing happening where the rulers of this industry are going to be increasingly coming from outside this realm of players because they're going in different directions. And I think we're going to see a lot more of this, and I think the consolidation of the carriers is going to mirror the consolidation of the vendors, and it's going to be really hard for these startups to really get traction unless they hit on a very specific niche. And I know a few people are going to talk about some of those areas pretty soon. So I just want to leave that thought out there, that I think the main message to me is that the M&A activity is going to be driven mostly from outside this space. And that could make it scary, but also interesting, because I think by bringing some new directions into the industry, this might be what it takes to shake things up enough to drive some of these technologies faster than the existing companies are able to do today.
That's a really interesting point, John. I think this notion that as voice, for example, disappears into so many different kinds of venues, whether peer-to-peer, mobility, or into applications, what we're going to see is new companies coming up and just presenting the market with entirely new approaches to doing some of these things. SAP, getting into the contact center business in some sense is I think a good example of something like that that could happen in the future.
Thanks, Don. The last thing I'd say to that, in a short term, it's creative destruction. I think we've heard that term, but that's what's happening in this industry right now. And it's going to be taken down and built up by other players who can reinvent it in ways that matter more today than what the kind of, status quo has been able to do so far.
Very interesting point. Steve Layton, how do you see this?
Don, this is a great topic, and thanks to Don and Dave Michaels for bringing this particular topic to the table. There's a couple of key things going on here, and one is, Don, being the manufacturer and looking where the market is, you have to be proactive in terms of betting where the UC market is going. And then there's also that old cliche, you need to control your own destiny. So with all of the activity going on, we're seeing quite a bit of that. So, for example, you've got Avaya, who obviously acquired RadVision with their Scopia product. And then you've got, they bought Cipera as an SBC provider. You've got Cisco, who bought Tanberg not too long ago. You've got Shortel, who bought M5 with Shortel Sky. We've got Logitech, who bought LifeSize. So, again, you've got all of these acquisitions playing and mergers playing. And it's really about the manufacturer at large who is going through this acquisition, controlling their own destiny and betting where the market's going. So some of our takeaways from Enterprise Connect included the cloud, video, SIP trunking, and WebRTC being, key growth areas for the market. So reflecting on, cloud as an example, we now have Interactive Intelligence who's betting that the majority of their business over the next 24 months will be coming from the cloud, and they're putting a lot of emphasis on that, and they're gearing a lot of their business and new employees, et cetera, around the cloud model. So really it comes down to we're going through this M&A period. There are new players in the UC space. John Arnold had mentioned Oracle acquiring Acme Packet. Obviously, they by default are not in the UC space, but by default now are. We're seeing new products in the UC space, including Dolby Spatial Audio being one. We're seeing definitely applications for communications desktops now being pushed into tablets and pushed into mobility. There's a huge hype cycle around WebRTC. And, it's interesting, we're also seeing new players. So, for example, we're seeing AudioCodes made this major announcement around the Link partnership at Enterprise Connect, and we saw NEC announcing their partnership with CenturyLink for their cloud offering. And we see, obviously, Microsoft now making a major play into the telephony space, much more so than they used to be just 2 years ago. And now you even have VARs who are taking on new product, so that, again, they can balance out where that is. And that would include, for example, AirOS 3 being one example here. They include ShoreTel, Cisco Knox Services from a company called Shore Group, Avaya, their entire product line, Siemens' entire product line. So, really, Don, I think it comes down to these key questions for the manufacturer at large, and that is, what are your core competencies going forward? What do you want to see, and what is your vision for your company out for the next 36 to 60 months? And, where are you very strong and where are you weak? And the weak points are, do you acquire another company who's strong in that area, or do you want to partner, with a company, that's potentially better than you in that area? And, really, what are your vertical niches? And to Marty's earlier point, what are the duplicative areas around when you do go through a merger and acquisition, where are the same titles that have to be effectively massaged? Because as we all know, mergers and acquisitions require a very painful process. Mitel with Intertel being one, and Avaya with Nortel being another. it just takes a lot of effort. So anyway, it's a great topic, and back to you, Don.
Thanks very much, Steve. We've talked generally and mentioned some of the acquisitions and mergers that have happened in the past. Let's go a little bit forward and speculate a bit into the future. Dave Michaels, give us your thoughts about some of these areas.
Thanks, Don. I find the world of mergers and acquisitions a bit of an enigma. I don't fully understand it. I'm not an M&A specialist. But sometimes they make a lot of sense and sometimes they don't. You know, there was a rumor a while back about Mitel and Siemens getting together. And I, you know, when I heard that, I just immediately had this, it doesn't make any sense type of reaction, because their products are very, they would overlap significantly. Their markets overlap significantly. And I don't know if that rumor was true or not, but it just didn't resonate. But then on the other hand, you know, these things like when Avaya acquired RadVision, I think it surprised a lot of people, because Avaya had some debt and RadVision was more or less struggling, but the two together seemed to be doing very well, and it made a lot of sense. And so it's just one of these things that's kind of a, you know, almost, you know, magical thing that I'm not sure exactly what all the criteria are that need to come together. Along those lines of Mitel and Siemens, what I didn't like, it got me into a conversation, and I was thinking about Siemens and ShoreTel. And that I could see as a more positive combination, because ShoreTel is so strong in North America, and ShoreTel has got their cloud acquisition, and Siemens has folded up their cloud, or at least their public cloud service. And so I could see those products or companies coming together. And when I talk about acquisitions, you know, there's always an assumption that it's going to be the larger company acquires a smaller company. But it doesn't have to be. It could be some sort of merger of sorts where a new company is created, or a joint venture of some kind. But that one made more sense. But I think we're going to see more activity, much more activity around the cloud space, because that's the Wild West right now, with so many companies staking a claim, or squatting might be a better word. But, you know, one of the big players in the cloud space is BroadSoft. And I don't know. They've made a lot of acquisitions. I can see them continuing. I can see them acquiring a company like Vidtel, for example. Or I can see them being acquired with Oracle's move with Acme Packet, and, you know, working with so many carriers. And that's BroadSoft's sweet spot. I can see Oracle and BroadSoft getting together. I think there's a whole bunch of hosted cloud providers out there, hosted public service providers out there, that are going to likely merge or consolidate. There's a lot of them that are running BroadSoft platforms, so I can see them getting together. But now that both NEC and Mitel are really doubling down on their public cloud service, I could estimate or guess that NEC or Mitel might be acquiring a number of these smaller service providers and building up their cloud and consolidating that effort. Another area altogether is video, which seems to be going through another rebirth, another new generation. Everything from SVC to WebRTC to, it's just a whole slew of technologies that are making video highly disruptive right now. A lot of really interesting companies. I'm not quite sure who might be acquiring who. I can see certainly video seems to be in a position where they might be acquiring companies, but I'm not sure what holes they feel they need to fill. Some smaller companies like Magor or Zoom seem to have some really interesting technologies that I could see being of strong interest to a number of larger companies. I think Smart Technologies made a pretty strong showing at Enterprise Connect, and you know, they're somewhat limited to what they can do in the video space, primarily around their boards. But I could see them getting together with some broader companies that Smart would fill a hole for. Polycom's in an interesting situation because they're being disrupted with a lot of these newer video technologies. And I wouldn't be surprised to see components of Polycom. We've already seen that. We saw the wireless division, the division that makes phones, spun out separately. And I wouldn't be surprised to see other components of Polycom, potentially their phone division completely, the remaining wired phones. I could see Polycom selling out various assets to help them focus on some core technologies that they want to focus on. That's the thoughts I have. So back to you, Don.
Great, Dave. Thanks very much. Michael Finneran, mobility is always a hot topic for this sort of speculation. What are your thoughts on this one?
Thank you, Don. Well, a few names popped to mind when this topic first was presented, and clearly at the top of the list is BlackBerry. They have launched their first BB10 device, but and Speculation has gone so far towards Microsoft and Dell. I think Cisco might pick them up. There's been close collaboration between those two companies for years. Cisco essentially has nothing in the MDM front, that they are partnering with some of the MDM suppliers. And with the Bez 10, they get not only BlackBerry management, but also iOS and Android. So that would be my first pick. But a lot of other stuff going on in the MDM front. Currently, according to Gartner, we have over 100 suppliers of mobile device management systems. The first one to go off the block was Zenprise, who got picked up by Citrix. But what we're seeing from Oracle lately, and possibly SAP, and maybe they're the ones who'll start moving into the MDM space. If not, we can just expect wholesale consolidation on that front. The other big area is wireless LANs. The number one and two spots have consistently been held by Cisco and Aruba. So I don't think that we're going to see any movement with those two. But once you get past them, we've got companies like Meru and Motorola Mobility. That's the other part of Motorola that that wasn't picked up by Google. Two names I like in particular because I like their technology, and I think they're pretty aggressive companies, are Aerohive and Ruckus. So maybe we'll see some action on that front. But exactly who would be acquiring them, that's kind of hard to peg because the wireless LAN business is sort of a specialized entity unto itself. Though, Enterasys is part of the Silver Lake group, did wind up with the Chantry Networks that Siemens had purchased. So lots of players moving around in the wireless LAN space. Of course, the other big area would be application developers, but I'm not close enough to that to really make any big speculation. So, but those would be some of my picks, and we'll see if I get any of them right by next year.
Well, thanks, Michael. Blair Pleasant, you were commenting on some of the changes that are coming and some of the new activities, especially things like WebRTC. What other thoughts do you have?
Yeah, thanks, Don. So as Marty and a couple other people mentioned, I think the next wave of acquisitions will be in the area of WebRTC. There are lots of great new WebRTC companies that are really being very innovative and developing new products and services that can help the more established legacy voice and video companies, help them get a leg up. And the WebRTC standards haven't even been finalized yet, but there are already quite a few companies with shipping products that are already starting to lead the field. And WebRTC really is going to be the big game changer in the coming years. So some of the more established voice conferencing and video companies that want to get into the market quickly may want to do so by acquiring some of these WebRTC startups to get started more quickly. And there really are lots of great innovative WebRTC companies that I saw at several recent conferences that I think would be good options. Companies like Plevo, Ten Hands, Three Point, Bitel. Any of these companies would make sense, in my opinion, for like Cisco, Avaya, Polycom, or possibly even the carriers in some cases. WebRTC is also going to have a big impact on customer service and making it easier for customers to reach live agents from their browser. So contact center companies should also be looking at some of these startups. Companies like Zingai is one that's focused on the contact center. So that's where my money would be. The other big areas I see are analytics and social software. And we're still in the early days when it comes to enterprise social, so I expect to see more mergers and acquisitions in this area as well. And analytics is just, you know, big everywhere. So I think a lot of the analytic companies are also going to be grabbed up. So that's where I see things coming down the pike.
Very interesting, Blair. That's great. We'd like to call on Phil Edholm. Of course, Phil has been through a few of these transitions over the past years. And Phil, lend some of your observations to this, both in the past, perhaps, and also what's going on in the future.
Thanks, Don. You know, I think that Blair and others have brought up an excellent point. WebRTC is probably going to be the hot acquisition area in the next 12 months. As small companies develop WebRTC and a number of companies look at that as an opportunity to bring it into their portfolio, we'll see a lot of acquisition in that space, probably the highest number. On the other hand, there was an interesting discussion today around, you know, is consolidation coming? We have a number of companies. Most of them are actually smaller. You know, there's an interesting concept that Jack Welch once said, which was that if you're not 20% market share, you can't actually be profitable, you can't grow. That was how he ran GE for years. And at the recent Enterprise Connect, some of the data presented said that probably only Cisco and Avaya are actually over 20% in the actual PBX communication space. You know, obviously, Microsoft, while they're at 8% of their voice solutions, they're much higher as a percentage in terms of adoption of Link, not necessarily for externalized voice. So we have an industry where a number of the players are actually relatively weak. And you can look at an acquisition of those players or a merger of those players in one of two dimensions. Either one of them is merged into a larger company in an alternative space. And, you know, I often hear talk about, well, gee, wouldn't it make a lot of sense if, you know, HP bought Avaya or something along those lines? The other is that two of those vendors were to merge together. We did hear the rumors of Siemens and Mitel merging. Actually, having been through both of those kinds of mergers and acquisitions in the past, I can tell you that neither one of them is easy and really only works if you're in a very growth area. For example, we did Nortel and Bay and put the two of them together. We had an interesting situation. You know, Nortel had about 30% share in the PBX market, and Bay had a 20 to 25% share in the network market. So you'd think they were both fairly strong players. But when you look at that as a Venn diagram, where you plot, you know, 30% share for company A and 20% share for company B, what you realize is that the overlap of the Venn diagrams is the 20% of the 30% in vendor A that has vendor B. So actually only 6% of the market in a random distributional have both companies' products. So that means those 6%, they're very happy. But 24% have vendor A and have a competitor of vendor B. And on the other side, 14% of vendor B have a competitor of vendor A. And then the rest of the market outside of that covered space, which, you know, if you go through the math, is basically 44%. The other 56% of the market doesn't have either, but now their acquisition may be incumbent upon buying both things together. And if those products are not on a similar reinstall or repurchase cycle, it can actually inhibit your growth. And there were a number of factors that we saw of that when Nortel bought Bay. So I think if you look at some of the acquisitions of, say, a computer company buying a UC communications company, I think you may see a lot of those things come to pass and be issues. The second is the merger of two relative equals. Obviously, when Nortel and Avaya merged back in 2009 and 2010, they were relatively equal. Their install bases were fairly similar in size. The revenues both before the Nortel bankruptcy were relatively equivalent. The challenge there is you now have two portfolios that you need to merge, and you're virtually assured of disappointing a significant percentage, if not all, of the portfolio that's not chosen to be merged in. And what that has is the impact of having those customers essentially realize that there's an opportunity that rather than changing to the vendor of the merger, the preferred solution of the merger, that it's time to go out for an RFP. And your losses of those customers in that merger RFP process can be very high. So this is all a way of saying that I think if you look at the industry today, the probability of major mergers and acquisitions of those large players, I think, is relatively low. But I think what we will see is, in fact, a lot of small acquisitions in the analytics space and contact center, some of the new functionality in contact center around WebRTC, around media services. And I think there's even some new opportunities in social across the piece for acquisitions. So hopefully we get together next year, we'll be able to see if some of those things came to pass in the industry. Back to you, Don. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Phil. Anyone else want to make any final comments?
Yeah, Don, the thing I'd say that's been implicit in everything that all of us have been saying today is that in the end, it has to be about the customer. And sometimes it's very easy to get caught up in the elephants rumbling around the savannah, you know, that all the big guys are making their moves and so forth. The question is, in the end, what does it mean for the customer? And I think that both advice from UC Strategies experts as well as good behavior by the channels can help buffer the customers. It can be done through proper contracting and effective contracting. It can be done through terms that include mutual agreement to transferring contract rights under a maintenance contract. It can include exclusions or waivers of certain terms and conditions if the company that's selling the equipment were to be acquired. Those kinds of things are possible to do as a reasonable logical business conversation. And I do encourage customers, value-added resellers and systems integrators, consultants who are listening to this to keep that in mind and consider that there is no company exempt from that kind of thinking, even Cisco. So even Microsoft, you know, even IBM, you have to be willing to think through the life cycle of a product and say, what if this company or this product line within this company, this vendor, were to be sold off? How would that work for me? Am I protected? Am I protecting my shareholders? And if not, change your contracts. Thanks, Don. I just wanted to add that to the perspective.
Marty, that's a great final thought, I think, for this podcast. Well, thanks, everyone. I think this has been a great discussion, and I think it will be very interesting a year from now to look back at our prognostications today. For all of you who are listening and reading this podcast, what are your thoughts? Please join the conversation and add your comments here at ucstrategies.com. And we'll be back next week with another topic.